Connor, thanks so much for making it on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. For those of you that don't know Connor, he is also on the Spiral team, and we work very closely together. He's a product manager, and he oversees the Spiral grant program, where we give grants out to open source Bitcoin designers and developers. And he also had a very unique path to Bitcoin, starting off as a footballer in the UK.
Yeah. Is that where we're going? Yeah, straight into the football stuff. but yeah, okay. So yeah, I'm kind of, thanks for having me, Hayley. I see you putting in a lot of good work on your podcast. You've had a lot of good guests and stuff. So I really enjoy this. So good to be on here. Yeah, you could say I had a unique path into technology generally. So like my first job, my first career was a professional footballer. So that was my day-to-day. That's how I earned my living. I played for West Ham United Football Club from the age of 8 years old all the way up till I was 18 or 19. Then I played for a few clubs in some of the lower divisions in the English football pyramid. And then for various reasons, stopped playing football around my early 20s, maybe 23 or so. Went to university, studied computer science. And then the kind of rest was history, you know. I went into software engineering from there and then found my way into Bitcoin, really. So, yeah, God gave me a second chance at another career. So I'm quite thankful, to be honest.
Well, we're thankful that you found us. And yeah, thanks for the intro.
Yeah.
So I'm going to hit you some questions.
All right, let's go.
Rapid fire.
Let's go.
Well, first off, going off your unique path.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe tell our listeners a little bit how you started off as a Spiral grantee and now you're managing that program and kind of what that was like and how you got there.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I think it was like 2017, I discovered Bitcoin, like that bull market. And it was me working at a company as a software engineer, one of my colleagues mentioning it. And it was primarily from an investment kind of perspective. But I think because I had the technology background, it was kind of, okay, let's use what I've learned in tech to kind of understand some of the fundamentals of what Bitcoin's all about. And, you know, like most people, you go down the rabbit hole, you learn a lot about it. And then studied it for a few years and wanted to find a way to contribute to this open source thing. So yeah, I started helping out in some design focused efforts around Bitcoin because I found the UX to be quite difficult to use. And I thought there was a space for improvement there. So played a role in trying to help kick off like the Bitcoin design community. And then yeah, my manager Steve reached out to me and said, is this something that I'd want to work on a more full-time basis? So yeah, worked on design community efforts, worked on some developer libraries around key management. Also did a few educational efforts with our colleague and friend Matt Belez as well, called Hello Bitcoin. So it's been quite diverse, some of the stuff I've worked on. And then when my grant finished, which was a 6-month grant to work on Bitcoin full time, I was given opportunity to join the Spiral team, Square Crypto at the time, full time. And now I'm doing technical PMing roles, trying to help out free open source Bitcoin projects in various ways. And also always on the lookout for talented people who want to contribute to Bitcoin and basically just trying to help them on their journey to being a success in doing that, really.
What's something that you look out for in grant applications?
Yeah, it's a number of different things. I mean, Spiral, we have a set of kind of pillars or principles that we would like to see people work on, you know, stuff that helps improve Bitcoin security, its privacy, its scalability, and its UX as well. So work that is kind of focused on those areas. We always encourage people to find room and space to just go and contribute and, you know, start doing the work. The good thing about Bitcoin, it's not something that requires you to, you know, submit a resume to a company or have or be credentialed in any way. You can, you know, your work really does speak for itself. So, you know, people who have taken the initiative to find ways to contribute in positive ways and of course a strong Bitcoin ethos, kind of understanding what the value proposition of Bitcoin is important as well.
what would you say a common misconception is about Bitcoin open source contributors? Maybe something that the average person maybe wouldn't know.
Yeah, I don't even know if the average person knows that there are like real humans behind building Bitcoin, to be honest. Like, I mean, if I speak to my average, you know, my friend, I'm pretty sure they're unaware of what free open source software is. Pretty sure they're unaware there are real human beings behind maintaining the software, adding new features, making sure it's secure across multiple platforms. A lot of work that is not very glamorous, but, you know, it's what's got us to the point where we have a, you know, $2 trillion market cap worth of value in the ecosystem. So, yeah, I would say that more than anything. I would say people kind of see this as quite a mysterious thing, especially, you know, with like Satoshi and Satoshi disappearing and not being a part of the project for a long time now. People, I think they underestimate the real human beings doing the work on the front line to try and, you know, make this thing as accessible to as many people as possible, really. So I would say that is a misconception about, you know, Bitcoin contributors. Yeah,
real humans, not AI.
Not yet. I mean, there's different layers to it, right? I don't see it being the case at the protocol level, at least, that, you know, AI is going to play a huge role just yet. Who knows in a few years? But there's definitely room at the application layer where there's a lot less, arguably, at stake for people to experiment with. But yeah, I don't think we're at the point where we can just set the AI off and to do its own thing and, you know, build out the future of Bitcoin. But you never know.
Yeah. Real humans. You got to come to Presidio Bitcoin. You see the humans here. You're here.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Presidio is lovely, by the way. Yeah, it's like, you know, one of those offices you come to and it's like, yeah, I want to do some work today. It's kind of inspiring. Obviously, the people here are also working on really cool projects that are going to try and, you know, push the boundaries of what's possible in Bitcoin. But yeah, just the whole area, just the whole vibe. You guys have done a really good job. I know you've played a big, big hand in that. So yeah, it's good to see your growth and all of that stuff over the years and being able to build something like this. So kudos to you as well.
Thank you. Maybe you'll move to San Francisco one day. Maybe we'll Presidio Bitcoin pill you.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not opposed to it. I've got.
We've got this on air.
Yeah, yeah. I've got another half that's got to sign it off. But yeah, I'm not opposed to it.
There's potential.
Yeah.
So you're obviously working on like a ton of cool projects, which I know a lot about what you're doing. What's one thing that like you're particularly excited about right now, besides the grant program?
What would I say I'm excited about? Yeah, I mean, UX stuff is things I've been focused on quite a lot recently. Stuff around payment protocols are always a bit hairy, and trying to set a path that makes, you know, the everyday usage of Bitcoin easier for everyday people is an area I spend some time on. So things around like human readable addresses and payment protocols like Bolt 12 that open up new use cases for people to be able to have this kind of static identifier where they can use as like a contact in a wallet application and be able to just center that on the fly without having to, you know, do out of bound communication and send around these confusing long alphanumeric strings and stuff like that. Just trying to see where stuff like that really fits in and where the use cases shine around that kind of stuff. So Bolt 12, human readable names, and trying to help developers understand the trade-offs of using these types of UX patterns to ultimately, you know, onboard more people in a bit of a bit of an easier way. So I would say I'm excited about that. I worked on a little project called Easy Bitcoin Address, which is the kind of, I don't know, at this stage, maybe it's like the marketing term to represent these new form of Bitcoin addresses that you can easily share and get paid without some of the overhead of outbound communication and stuff. So I'd say I'm quite excited about that, or excited to at least see where it goes and see how the community adopts it. There's been quite a few wallets and projects that have adopted it already, and we expect that to grow. So yeah, we'll see how that goes with people adopting Easy Bitcoin addresses.
And yeah, so for those of you that maybe don't know about Easy Bitcoin Address, it's kind of a way to make the user experience maybe more similar to something like, you know, Cash App, where you have like a cash tag, so you don't have to go in and type some, like, you know, technical thing behind the screen. You can, you know, type in their cash tag, like Easy Bitcoin Address. You can generate kind of a easy name that you can then type in instead of typing out
the long. Yeah, so like Haley at easybitcoinaddress.me or Haley at somewalletname.me, and that would be what you'd share with me as your payment identifier, and then I can send you money that way, as opposed to if you've used Bitcoin or any Bitcoin wallet, then you may have come across something like a Lightning address, or if not, you'd be just using the raw alphanumeric strings, and it can be a bit scary. There's this, you know, long string. If I get it wrong, if I change a letter, if I change a number, am I going to send Bitcoin into a black hole or something? So there's all of these, not really tiny, but all of these experiences that can be improved and still be secure. So that's the main thing.
Yeah. So everyone should go test it out. I'll put the link in the description, but you can go generate your own Easy Bitcoin address.
Exactly. Yeah.
Besides Easy Bitcoin addresses, which are of course great, what do you like foresee is like the next big innovation wave in Bitcoin?
Next big innovation wave. That's a difficult one, because we get a unique seat at seeing what everyone's kind of working on, and it's difficult to sometimes know how it's all gonna come together. But there is a lot of stuff still happening on the Lightning front. There's still a lot of room for growth and adoption in the Lightning space. It does require a level of infrastructure to still be built out to make the user experience around Lightning really strong, especially for self-custodial users. But we're getting there. We're ever so close. So over the next year, 6 months, I definitely think the UX around Lightning for self-custodial users is definitely going to be close to maybe what people were envisioning in the outset. But beyond that, what else is there? Our team is obviously very focused on like Lightning stuff, so I think that's where we get a lot of insight and like a front row seat to really see things explode. But then there's also like how that fits in with AI as well, and artificial intelligence, and seeing like the crossover between Bitcoin and AI, and like, you know, what is AI going to choose? What is AI going to choose as its preferred money? You know, Bitcoin has some flaws that may not make it suitable for AI to do certain types of use cases, but it'd definitely be interesting to see how Bitcoin and Lightning can be leveraged to in this new kind of AI world. So I'm excited to see that. And there are already companies and individuals and projects pushing the boundaries around that stuff. So I think people should, really keep a close eye on that space as well.
For like people who don't know, like, why is something like Bitcoin important in AI? Is it just like to add a payment layer to AI? Is it to add a human interaction component? Like, how can Bitcoin leverage AI?
So I think it's more how can AI leverage Bitcoin. So AI is the way people are using AI and the AI agents is to interact with a number of different services. So, you know, at this point, people are using their Claude code or their ChatGPT or whatever it might be to do a lot of the heavy lifting to build the applications. But the agents still need access to resources on the internet or different types of resources, and those have to still be paid for in some way. And Bitcoin gives you the advantage of being able to, in the Lightning context, transact quite frequently and do micropayments and stuff that is not currently possible in the fiat realm or even across the crypto system more broadly. So it just opens up the possibilities with, you know, what's possible and what can be done autonomously with this type of money that is like, and it's digitally native as well. So agents can, you know, have their own wallets, manage their own balances, do all of this stuff in an automated way. But, you know, like I said, there are some trade-offs with using Bitcoin in this way, in certain height. You know, will the agents, AI, be able to use, you know, Bitcoin in a high-fee environment? What would be their preferences around privacy? All of these different things are stuff to consider as well. So I think it's still a question that's up for debate. What would be that the preferred currency? Would they prefer like something that's a bit more stable coins and stuff as well? So that battle is currently underway as far as I'm concerned, and we'll see what comes out on top. But as builders in the space, we have to try and, you know, push the boundaries of what is possible in that way, and, you know, try and get Bitcoin ahead in that race. I think
maybe it would benefit Bitcoin if like we had more conversations with AI builders specifically about their needs and how Bitcoin can fit uniquely and just more collaboration
there. Yeah, I mean, you guys have done some good work around that. You had some event here last month or 2 months ago, maybe like a hackathon, like trying to get people to experiment with different types of software development kits and libraries and seeing how that kind of integration might work. So yeah, people are, you know, constantly trying to push the boundaries there. So yeah, we'll see. It's exciting. It's definitely exciting. It could be like the explosion of adoption that Bitcoin, I don't know if needs is the right word, but you know, it could happen. And that has interesting implications for Bitcoin if, you know, hundreds of thousands of AI agents are required or requesting to use Bitcoin. What does that mean for Bitcoin in terms of scalability and all of these different questions? So we could see a huge spike in demand for Bitcoin just in that arena, but it's still, you know, it's still speculative in that way, and we don't know how it's going to play out, but it's definitely an exciting area of experimentation, I would say. Yeah,
we need some AI builders to come here. You're listening and you work in AI, which I know there's a lot of you in San Francisco.
Yeah,
come visit Presidio Bitcoin.
Yeah.
We can learn from each other.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Well, I have to ask you this because I feel like you're working on it. Plus, we have Matt Pelez. So there's a lot of talk of sats versus Bitcoin and how we display the quantities of Bitcoin, the fractions of Bitcoin. What's your take on it?
Yeah, I was actually thinking about this on the way here, actually. No, it's really grown on me. At first, you know, as someone who's been in the Bitcoin space for a few years, certain terminology, certain language, certain way you use Bitcoin just becomes like embedded in your psyche. So the immediate response to anyone suggesting something quite radically different can sometimes, it can cause a bit of friction, I think, in your mental model and the way you think about Bitcoin. But it has grown on me. I think sats is something known to a very small percentage of the world. And the Bitcoin brand is a very strong one, and we should leverage and build upon that. Ultimately, it's a proposal that is going to organically be adopted by the market, and you know, people are going to determine what's best for their applications and what they're and the use case they're trying to solve. But the applications I have seen it in where the idea of sats is kind of deprecated, the B symbol becomes more predominant in the way you display integer only balances for your Bitcoin, and like the 8 decimal place representation of Bitcoin disappears. I think it's very positive. I think most people that have seen the old style of displaying Bitcoin with the new have pretty much been won over. So now it's kind of just left down to the market to kind of decide on if it's something that they're going to adopt long term. So yeah, I think, you know, if people want to read more about it, I think John Caballa done a really great job of initially creating the BIP for it, BIP 177. Which I guess you can read the initial inspiration behind it. And then Matt Belez has done a great job of advocating for it and showing it in specific examples across applications. So yeah, like some of the people I'm going to share this with won't even know what sats are, you know? So many Bitcoiners will say it's already embedded. It's kind of a cultural thing, language and stuff like that. It's kind of a cultural thing. But it's I just love the fact that it's a proposal that is open to the market to decide whether they want to adopt it. It's not like, it's not a protocol change. You know, it's not something that requires consensus. It's not something that requires a hard fork, a soft fork. It's literally an experience. It's a different way to experience Bitcoin. So that we think is going to be more beneficial long term.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get kicked out of this room very shortly for PBJ. Mm-hmm.
Peanut butter and jelly.
Peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah. So, can I get some more nuts?
I'll just hit you with like one last question.
All right.
Okay. For somebody that's maybe considering getting into the Bitcoin space, either just learning about it more on the technical side, maybe they're already an engineer, or maybe they're a little further along the rabbit hole and they want to like apply for a grant. What's your like number one piece of advice?
Start contributing. You don't need permission to start contributing and being of value to the Bitcoin ecosystem. There's lots of valuable work that still needs to be done. A lot of maintenance, a lot of testing, a lot of design thinking, a lot of privacy improvements. The list goes on, really. So find what you're interested in. Find the area that you are passionate about. Find a way to start contributing. And then once you're on that path, you can come and, you know, speak to people like me and the folks at Spiral, and we'll try our best to, you know, support you and keep you on that journey, really.
Yes, you can speak to you. You can come to some of our events at City of Bitcoin. If you're in San Francisco, come to BitDevs, come to LitDevs, come to Builder. And then you can reach out to Connor, which where can they contact you at?
Anywhere, really.
Anywhere.
Twitter. just shout my name. No, it can be on Twitter at Connor Okus. It can be on LinkedIn. It can be on email, Connor@spiral.xyz, grants@spiral.xyz. You know, just Google. You'll find us.
You can ask AI or you can find Connor.
Yeah, exactly. We're everywhere we need to be. So yeah, we're very approachable. So if you need any advice, you need any help on getting started, contributing to Bitcoin, we're more than happy to help. So
Connor is definitely the chillest person on the Spiral team, I would say.
Yeah. I like to think I'm approachable, but I don't know.
Well, thanks for coming on the show, and thanks for visiting San Francisco, and we'll see you again soon for LitDevs and then the Bitcoin Design Week, which we didn't even talk about, but
yeah,
that's coming up.
Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Bye.
See ya.